You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Pablo.
And my name is Roberto. And this is episode, I wish I knew how to say 623 in Spanish, but I don't. We do welcome you either way, and interesting subject today.
Is that 620?
20? 20. Today
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I can tell you in Czech.
Really?
No. I'm kidding. Maybe Ilker could tell us in Turkish. I don't know. But anyway, guys, welcome to another awesome episode. I don't want to bore you as we think about how to say the number in different ways. But today's a very important episode. As you know, drone registration officially gone.
Yeah, so who does that affect?
That affects the hobbyists, Rob. Hobbyists only. Commercial pilots, guess what? You still have to have a reservation. You still have to have a
a registration.
Registration. You can reserve the N number if you want to go the old school route.
Difference being that applies to you personally and therefore the same registration for all drones, right? Versus
that,
hobby.
That's how the hobbyist system worked.
So I've got it backwards.
No, I think a lot of the FAA personnel have it backwards because I've seen emails from FAA personnel say that, but commercial registration is a little bit different. I mean, the example, I even called registration the other day and I said, look, I've got one N number for an Inspire. I don't really fly it anymore and I've got a new Inspire. Can I just put that N number on the new Inspire? No, it's a different serial number.
Oh, okay.
So I was like...
So I had to redo that.
I'm like, no one would ever figure that out, but okay, sure. So.
Yeah, follow the rules, follow the rules. So here's what I'm wondering, because if I registered and I spent $5 and now that registration is invalid, essentially never existed, right? I mean, that's basically what's being said. Can I get my $5 back?
So yes, you can get your $5 back, but John Rupert actually wrote a blog post on this. And he put it in perspective, I think, better than anyone else who wrote about it did. And that's why I brought up his blog post, because it's really good. Anyway, so essentially, if you were to get your $5 back, how do you go about doing that? So...
Well, my guess is you spend about $1,000 in time trying to get your $5 back.
Yeah. No, It's really interesting here. In fact, the FAA actually just put out a formal announcement, and that formal announcement was that the FAA is providing the following updated information regarding the small UAS registration and marking interim final rule as a result of the recent decision by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit regarding the small UAS registration program. Court's decision invalidated the registration requirement as it applies to certain model aircraft that meet the definitional and operational requirements provided in Section 336 of the FAA Modernization and Reform Act. Another thing that Rupert said, which is another great point I want to bring up, he was like, now guys, registration deletion applies only to people who are protected under 336, which means community-based organization, which means they follow the rules of the community-based organization. So what he's saying is that these rules would not protect you if you didn't fly within the rules of 336. So, but I don't understand that because if the Court of Appeals just said registration is null and void, you can't make laws against it, and they're saying for model aircraft, but again, here we go back to the definition of model aircraft. I would think, based on the court's decision, that whether you were CBO or non-CBO, you would still not have to register. But I can see Rupert's point in him saying that if you don't follow the guidelines of a community-based organization, which again, we have to define that, that you wouldn't be protected. And I can understand that, but protected from what?
Yeah, well, you've honestly kind of lost me with the whole protected and...
So he's saying that the registration... Let me just read to you what he said.
Let's do that.
The D.C. Circuit's ruling applied only to recreational flyers who fall within the protections of 336. This did not apply to commercial flyers. Not all recreational flyers fall into the Section 336 protected category. I would say mainly are actually Part 107 recreational flyers who are required to fly with a registered drone. Basically, flying recreational drones does not by itself mean you are in a protected class. And then he says, see my discussion on Part 107 recreational versus 336 recreational for a far more in-depth discussion.
So if you have a 107, you are going to be registered. You're going to need to register.
Uh-huh.
Because you are by default commercial.
Correct.
And you can't say, I have this drone that I use commercially. It's part of my registration. I have this drone that is just for recreation. It's a hobby drone. It's not part of my registration. Is that accurate?
So... I missed that.
No, I was just saying you can't delineate between a commercial drone and a so-called recreational drone if you are a 107 pilot. You're registering everything that you own in fly.
Yeah.
Correct? Because it's commercial. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah. And that makes sense. So 107 recreational, is that how we see it? Is that what you're kind of...
Yeah, basically there is no such thing. Even though you can fly recreationally, even though you're a 107 pilot,
yeah,
right?
Well, okay, so a lot of people are also mad about this registration thing, saying it totally degrades the industry and knocks the credibility of the FAA, and more people are just going to go out and do whatever they wanted. And a lot of people have said, well, you know, if we're going to enact something that is supposed to be about safety, right? That's what the FAA said in court.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they said in briefings and papers, that registration was to have a way to create a safe flying environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, John Taylor, who fought this and actually got the court decision, also filed a FOIA request to see if any person had ever had their information even searched under Part 48, this hobby registration. Had they ever used the information for an enforcement action? This in response to your request dated June 13, 2017 under the Freedom of Information Act pertaining to enforcement actions arising from operations in which the operator was identified by use of a Part 48 registration number. A search of the Enforcement Information System and the National Program Tracking and Reporting System revealed no records pertaining to enforcement actions arising from operations in which the operator was identified by use of a Part 48 registration number. In other words, they never used the system.
No, of course not. I mean, it was a theoretical deterrent. And
why work so hard to do something that people are just going to fight, that later degrades your credibility and ultimately hurts everyone as a whole?
Well, yeah. And as far as whether it's a good idea to aid in the creating a safe environment, that's completely ultimately beside the point because of the way they did it. I mean, that's why they lost the appeal, right?
They lost the appeal actually because it strictly says you may not promulgate regulations
exactly
against, and they did that, and the court was like, you can't do that.
Exactly. That's my point. So the method that they used to create this so-called safe environment, which maybe it would work over time, maybe it wouldn't. So far, it doesn't seem to have done anything.
Yeah.
But they could always try to accomplish what they were attempting to accomplish with this particular method the right way and appease all the people that think it's a good idea, but they're probably not going to do that. Does that make sense?
Yes. But you remember way back in the day when I said that this drone registration would ultimately end up like CB radio registration? The government says you've got to register it. No one actually does it. Well, in this case, government says you got to register it. People registered it. They still had 500,000, 600,000 registrations, which now we know DJI's sales numbers, which we know that only accounts for maybe 1/9 or 1/10 the actual number of drones in the mm-hmm. United States. Okay, you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
I mean, and then, okay, so government says you got to register it. If one out of nine pilots registers, then the government says, okay, well, we were wrong about registration. And now we're ultimately back to no one registering their drone for hobby recreation. What we said as an ultimate no one will end up registering is going to happen. It's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that we got there was very different. But history repeats itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I'm wondering is, what was the penalty? The actual penalty, if you didn't register your drone back when we thought we were supposed to, and you got caught.
I think some people said it was like $25,000. Some person said it was $1,100 per infraction. Remember that our local FAA office said they were in the middle of an enforcement action for someone having not registered their drone. Remember that? I said that on the air. Yes, in Texas.
Yeah.
I said that on the air here that someone was being enforced for not having a registered drone. This proves me and the FAA local office wrong.
Well, yeah, it's really, and so I wonder, and it, they probably did not actually enforce this against anybody and collect any money, but they would have to pay that money back, I would presume, right? Because is this a retroactive thing? It invalidates it from the beginning. It would have to.
Yes, it does. Now, if we go back to the whole, how do you get your money back thing, right? So listen to this. This is it really worth it? The FAA is working on a final rule with respect to registration and marking that will implement the court's decision. In the meantime, if you are an owner operating exclusively in compliance with Section 336 and you wish to delete your registration and receive a refund of your registration fee, you may do so by accessing a registration deletion and self-certification form and mailing it to the FAA at the address designated on the form. Owners who already received a refund during the initial grace period are not eligible to receive a refund, and this form has been submitted to the Office of Management and Budget for approval for the information collection. So if Rupert says words of warning before filling it out, can you really trust the FAA with your bank account information? He says you have to give the FAA your name, address, and financial institution information. And then he says, kind of messed up if you ask me. You have to give more confidential information to the FAA to get the $5 back and the information deleted than that was illegally obtained. I wouldn't waste my time for the $5.
I don't think so.
Okay, I agree with you, John. At the same time, you have to think of the government in the same way that the police think, which is when you're losing, when you're in a negotiation, when you want someone to do what you want to do, you burden them with the process. This is government tactics 101. And I mean, like, okay, this is burdening people with the process. Mail them a form? What?
I know.
You want something via faximile too? Like,
Faxmile. Yeah, I had said definitely don't do that. We need them utilizing their resources for things that are going to help the industry, right?
This is a waste of time for everyone.
Unless you're one of, well, that would be a whole different process, I'm sure. Unless you did have an enforcement and paid them money, but I'm sure nobody did.
Well, it gets worse. John Rupert adds, by signing this document, you could create problems for yourself in the future. The instructions say, oh, the first page, in order to self-certify, please check each applicable stipulation in the list of Section 336 provisions. If each provision is not checked, your record deletion and refund will not be processed. There are multiple problematic statements in this document which could cause problems down the line in future enforcement actions. I'm not going to get into all the problems or why there are problems because at the end of the day, you are not my client and I am not your attorney. That's where he cuts the line. You gotta pay me lots of money to find out more.
Well, we all got
our law firm would just be like, oh, you want to know? $500 an hour. Waiting. Yeah. Waiting.
Like, in fact, I'm going to charge you for waiting.
You know what?
I need an answer.
We have to charge for every sixth of an hour. And right now, if this adds up to 12 minutes, you're getting charged.
So this is the beauties of
growing up with a lawyer family.
So you've lost your $5. That's the bottom line. You've lost your $5.
Boo freaking who?
Of course. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, so is it worth it? Probably not. And on that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.